producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the American Family Farmer, the weekly radio program for the small independent farm owners and those interested in how your food gets from the farm to your table. Here's your host, lifelong family farmer, Doug Steffen.
The American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, here to overview what's going on America's family farms, hobby farms, the ag businesses that are run by small companies. That's who we're here to support. Because family farms and hobby farms are under siege by big ag and big government, so it's important for us to come up with really good examples of how you can solve some of the problems that you deal with on a day-to-day basis. Any success we have is because of the people who help us put this program together, and one of them, the person we give credit to in this first part of the program, is a fellow named Bruce Wright, who's a professor of Agricultural Engineering Technology and Master Instructor at the State University of New York in Cobleskill. This program is on WSDE, and I've been very close to that station for a number of years, close to that area. I spent a lot of time at McFadden's Auction in Sharon Springs, and I bet you know that, Bruce, very well.
Yes, I do.
All right, so first, before I get into the specifics of how one chooses and maintains and repairs tractors today, what is the difference? Are you a farm guy? Did you grow up on the farm?
Yes, I did.
All right. So what do you remember about the first tractor that you ever drove?
It was a very basic tractor, gasoline tractor. It had limited operator comfort. Had some of the safety features we look at today, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent many hours behind the steering wheel on it.
What kind of a tractor was it?
It was a John Deere 620.
All right. So we can compare and contrast. My first moment driving a tractor was when I was 9 years old, and I stood up to reach the clutch and the brake on a Ferguson TO30. You know what that is, right?
That sounds very similar.
Yeah, it was. And then a Farmall H and a Farmall M. And it wasn't until, I don't think I got on a diesel tractor. I'm trying to remember the first diesel tractor that I got on. And it wasn't maybe until I had my own Massey Ferguson 180. I have three of them now on my farm, but I had one that I bought in 1969, I want to say, maybe 1970. It was 4 or 5 years old, and it cost me $5,000, and I bought it at an auction not too far from where you are, and it's worth every penny of that today.
Yep.
And just those are neat old tractors. And frankly, I don't choose to use new tractors, and maybe that's part of the philosophy here that we talk about as we help people consider how to buy, and if you don't want to buy, what to do to keep the old tractors up. The old ones are so simple, so basic. It's kind of like an old car, an old truck. I got a 1950 Chevy pickup truck. You open up the hood, and you can actually see to the ground, right?
Yep. And there's no pollution controls or other things that have been mandated by the governmental regulators.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't be because they're too old. In that sense,
well, we don't go back. What happens is that the government sets a regulation for like emissions, and it's from a certain day forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been happening for about the last 18 years, and that's added a significant amount of complications and costs to tractors.
And is it necessary, worthwhile, useful? What's your spin? When you're teaching these classes to people who are trying to understand the industry, the technology, the state-of-the-art tractors and equipment, how do you have a spin on that, a valued spin as to whether it was a good idea or not to put all these regs or apply the regs that were basically applied to cars and then they applied to trucks and now they're being applied to tractors? Is that a good idea?
We are struggling with certain things because tractors have a whole different operating platform than other applications we have in our country. We've just gotten through the last level of emissions, and some of those tractors have only been out for a year, and we have some that have been the first 6 to 8 months is when you really see things that are going to work or see things that are having difficulty in the operating condition that they're under. And many of our tractors, if they're running under full load and heavy applications, are they work very well. If they are idling a lot, it creates a lot of unnecessary, service, because we generate too much soot and gets into things that we had assumed we're going to be operating in a cleaner environment.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of using biodiesel or something? Frankly, I collect cooking oil and mix it into sort of a witch's brew. I can't use it in the wintertime, but in the summertime, I go up and down the street, my tractor smell like I was cooking fish on them.
Yep.
What does that do for the engines, and what does that do for the environment?
Well, a lot of the manufacturers were using a 5% biofuel when they built the tractors and they were leaving the factory. There is a problem with some of that biofuel accumulating moisture, and a lot of our newer systems, we do an awful lot to make sure we separate any condensation or water out of the fuel before it gets into the system that puts it under pressure to burn it.
That's so, the fuel filters act.
Well, we have agglomerators, and we have some other things where we try and get all the moisture separated out before it goes into the injection pump.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that is helpful for a number of different reasons. When you talk to people about the choices they make, do you tell them to buy a certain brand, or do you just say these are the things to look out for? I guess I'm thinking about some of the newer versions. I have about a dozen Massey Ferguson tractors and maybe 14 or 15 of the 6 Series International tractors, all the way from a 666 to an 856 I have. I love those tractors. They're so simple. They have power, and they aren't expensive either to run or to buy. But I'm not the average guy who's running, although maybe I am, in sense the small family farms, the hobby farmers, can't really afford, for the most part, to buy a lot of new equipment. Isn't that the case?
That's a lot of the new equipment is being used on large acreage farms that are growing a significant number of acres of crops. And in that arena, it's a lot of those farms lease those tractors, or they will have them for a particular period of time. Example I use is U.S. Sugar down in Florida. They rent umpteen hundred tractors to harvest sugar each year. And then we take those tractors and then they get resold as, lease returns, and they migrate all through the country. But that first group of ours, why they use them to harvest all the sugar cane and get it to the processing facility as part of their first assignment.
We're talking to Bruce Wright, who's a professor of agricultural engineering technology at the SUNY College in Cobleskill, New York, about how to maintain, what to think about when you're buying a tractor, or how to maintain these tractors. We're going to continue in this theme and with this thread. I'm Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road. The day I knew I was a real biker was when I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because real bikers, well, they know where the savings are. And you know what else makes you a real biker? A sweet tattoo. Check mine out. Just got it yesterday. It says Heal on Wheels. Wait, Heal on Wheels? Oh, man. Well, at least I got the saving money with Geico part, right? Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
How fast are new Allegra gel caps?
I didn't know you got a cat fast.
How strong are new Allegra gel caps?
10 more logs to go strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gives you noticeable relief of your toughest allergy symptoms in just 1 hour. 2 times faster than Claritin and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's relief when the pollen's off the charts strong, even in the convertible.
New Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster. Nothing's stronger. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
I'm Mike Huckabee. I was the governor of Arkansas and ran for president in 2008, and I used to be a diabetic. One of the coolest campaigns I ever took on and won was the crusade that reversed my type 2 diabetes naturally. I was able to get off the medications I'd taken, and I lost 110 pounds of fat in the process. If you or someone you care about has type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes, I urge you to pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. The same methods I use to reverse my type 2 diabetes are found today in the Diabetes Solution Kit. It's an all-natural plan that really could work for you in reversing type 2 diabetes and prevent it from coming back, all in as little as 4 weeks, with your doctor's approval. Stop suffering. Here's how to get your hands on the Diabetes Solution Kit today.
Get your Diabetes Solution Kit now at 99bloodsugar.com. Everything you need to reverse your type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes like Governor Huckabee did is at 99bloodsugar.com. Reverse your diabetes today at 99bloodsugar.com. That's 99bloodsugar.com.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Again, that's FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeWaterproofMatch.com today.
Back on the American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen, overviewing problems that the small family farmer has, the hobby farmer, the people who are in the ag businesses. We're having a conversation with Bruce Wright, who's a professor of ag engineering technology at SUNY in Cobleskill, New York, talking about the older tractors. And I don't want to overdo this because a lot of people do have newer tractors, but they're on the bigger farms, as Bruce points out. I think about what technology. I just bought a fairly new used car, and it has GPS technology in it and all the other gizmos and gadgets. And I was looking at pictures of some of the newer tractors that have all of this stuff, the GPS. They're controlled. Most of the popular brands, especially if you go larger tractors, 120 horsepower and above, they're basically computer-operated. You just sit in the seat like perhaps you were running a locomotive or something, right?
Yes, they have to have computer controls so the engines burn at the level that the emissions will meet the federal mandates. And many of those tractors also, the GPS technology is very important to them because the size of the equipment that they're pulling is so large, you can't see out whether you're overlapping, say, 3 inches or 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So with that GPS signal, you can have a repetitive overlap that's very small, and over a course of a day, reduce passes across the field considerably because the GPS line has been, you've been able to stay on that line.
I have an older Massey 65 as well, and I was thinking about how with any or all of this stuff, it takes the fun out of it. I'm a farmer, but not as a vocation. It's an avocation for me. Been around the farm all my life, raised cows, been around cattle all my life, and these tractors I've been around, and it flabbergasts me, frankly, to see all of the things that are doable now with this stuff. And I think it kind of takes, though, the fun out of it. But if you're in a big farming circumstance, you got to make money. I mean, all of us ought to make money, but we don't. And maybe we'll focus on that as we continue here. The focus, the conversation on the American Family Farmer has to do with equipment, tractors, that sort of thing, the new versus the old. We continue in a matter of moments. This is the weekly American Family Farmer radio program.
But
Attention taxpayers. If you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Right now is the time to jumpstart your health with a new 30% discount from InfoWarsHealth.com. Secure the all-new Tangy Tangerine 2.0 with certified organic ingredients that are non-GMO and better tasting than ever. For an exclusive 30% off discount when you sign up at InfoWarsHealth.com. That's 30% off retail when you become a distributor at InfoWarsHealth.com. You've heard me talk about Tangy Tangerine for years now, and you've heard others talk about what it's done for them. Take the challenge. Try it for the first time. Or even reorder your Tangy Tangerine and other great longevity products like Pollen Burst or the Alex Pack, all for 30% off when you visit InfoWarsHealth.com. This is a fantastic opportunity to be able to try out the hundreds of amazing products at InfoWarsHealth.com and get 30% off on products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine 2.0. Visit InfoWarsHealth.com to get started today. You can also sign up for AutoShip and get free shipping. 30% off and free shipping. It's all available exclusively at InfoWarsHealth.com today.
Continuing on with our focus on the equipment that you're using, mostly tractors. Bruce Wright is a professor at the SUNY College in Cobleskill, New York. Great farming area. I love that area, frankly. So the new tractors may have 5,000 different diagnostic codes. The older ones that I'm talking about, the 6 Series Internationals and the Masseys, I don't know, maybe they have... I'm thinking about the Masseys now that are newer. I do remember the guy who works on mine putting a code or whatever they call a diagnostic test on this tractor. Are there 5,000 codes on the older ones, or is this just something new?
With the incorporation of computers to monitor the engine, we've also been able to utilize their technology to do scanning of circuits, scanning of components, and the posting of a code has been something that's happened probably in about the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And as tractors became more sophisticated in the application of computers, the computers have the ability to push a problem to a level where a code is registered, and the code will then display, or it'll be on a computer when you would connect to the tractor, and it would guide somebody working on it to a spot where that problem is.
So how hard is it? Again, I'm focusing on some of the older stuff that I could fix myself. I can do a lot of basic things, change injector nozzles, and put a head gasket on if it's leaking. I can fix things. I have one engine that's got a crack in the block, and I put various things on that to keep from having to change the block, that kind of stuff. I don't know that I can do that. I mean, the thing that is frustrating here for the farmer that normally works on his or her own equipment, now with all of the stuff you're describing, who fixes this stuff? You have to hire somebody to come, a technician from the dealership where you bought the tractor? Is it getting to the point where the farmer owner can't fix his own tractor anymore?
Well, it's no different than the automotive industry and the truck industry. We've migrated certain things to a computer level that the dealer has to invest in the computer to do the diagnostic work on the piece of equipment, whether it's a car, a truck, a tractor. And we have a situation where a lot of our newer tractors, we can remote download a connection to it from a service manager's office, look at the code and determine a possibility for the problem. And we have now levels of problems. Some of them are a concern, but nothing that's going to impact the operation of it. Something is a medium level, which is something we need to make a improvement on, but we have a little period of time. And then there's a major code that would require, you know, it may shut the engine down right at the moment. So as we look at some of these, they're evaluated by a rating system, and that rating system tells us how critical they are.
Do you think because of all of the requirements on the newer tractors that has pushed the value and desirability of older tractors up?
Oh, yes. Yes. There's older tractors that are selling for the premium prices because they don't have some of the computerization or don't have some of the things that add significant costs to that unit. And there's multiple examples from auctions across the country where a tractor has been used for a period of time and may not have a lot of hours on, is put up for sale, and the sale price is equal to, if not greater than, what it was bought new.
That's when it was new. Absolutely. I'm with that one and appreciate that. I think it's not a bad way to go, but that's just me and my bias. Thank you very much. Bruce Wright, Professor of Agricultural Engineering Technology at the New York State College University.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
By now you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials,
commercials.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, here to help out those who our mission, this is kind of like the beginning of Star Wars, our mission is to get into the minds and the hearts and the spirit of the family farmer, family farming organizations, the hobby farmer, that sort of thing. Big ag is a lot different than small ag, but this is really, the small ag business is something that I hold great optimism for in terms of where it goes. Let's follow the pursuits of a fellow that I've known and talked to. He's helped me out a lot on my farm. His name is Pete Kennedy, an attorney in Florida, serves as the president of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. He's been focused on raw dairy issues, which was my big issue because I was selling raw dairy on my farm, raw milk. It's a wonderful, pure food, and the government doesn't have, this is my bias, just doesn't have a clue. They're pushed around by the big interests, and the only people that want this are the people in the public who see the health benefits. So he's followed legislation, initiated it, food safety stuff, raw milk bills that are anti-usage of raw milk. He also is providing help for CowShare College and GoatShare University. So, Pete, good to have you on the American Family Farmer. Let's talk about something specific, and that's what's going on in Wyoming. The governor there signed the Food Freedom Act. It has been a long time in the making. What does this bill do?
Well, Doug, this is the best piece of legislation that's been passed since we've been in existence, and that goes back to 2007. What this bill does is there's basically no regulation, period, for the sale of any product from the producer, whether that's a farmer or a home kitchen, direct to the consumer. There's one exception, and that is meat. But if you want to sell poultry, you want to sell raw milk, raw butter, even raw cheese, the federal law says the cheese has to be aged at least 60 days to be sold raw. There's no requirement, no aging requirement in Wyoming. It completely takes the regulatory shackles off the farmer. The only requirement is they have to either let the customer know, either verbally or in writing, it doesn't have to be in writing, that the customer is purchasing food that was not inspected or from an unlicensed facility. So it opens things up. And, you know, I think the great thing about it is the farmer's been sucked into this regulatory scheme over the last 100 years. It all started, you know, with the jungle, the Federal Meat Inspection Act, the Food and Drug Act back in the beginning of the 20th century. And the farmer wasn't the reason at all for those conditions. I mean, back then, farmers weren't regulated if they were selling on the farm direct to the consumer. The government left them alone. It's just that they've been sucked into this regulatory scheme over the past 100 years, and Wyoming hopefully is the start of undoing all that.
You know, the Wyoming bill allows, as you suggested, for the unregulated sale of food. One of the big things in Massachusetts where I was selling raw milk, you couldn't sell it off of the farm. And when you listen to some of the arguments, I'm bringing this up because I'm hoping you and your group are going to blaze the trail for other states and have this sort of open up, especially in the face of the food safety bill or bills and all the regulations that are aimed at basically putting the small farmer out of business. If you really read them through and you understand what the real nature and where they came from, you become cynical like Pete and I are about this, because that's pretty much what's going on, is it not?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know as well as I do, these are all economic regulations disguised as health regulations. I mean, what they're going to do is just they're going to paperwork. It's like a paperwork dictatorship, basically. They're going to throw mounds of these paper requirements at the small farmers. They're not going to be able to comply with them. So basically, you've got two trains coming at each other on the same track. You've got this federal expansion of regulation, and then Wyoming, you know, it's going on elsewhere, not to the degree in Wyoming, but you have this state-level deregulation, and the state level's got to win out on this.
Well, one of the reasons, the motivating factors for people to support the farmtoconsumer.org website and the activities of the Farm-to-Consumer Foundation is the very thing that Pete just explained. Most people who are farmers become very familiar with the FDA and the USDA trying to push the so-called food safety regulations, these bills. They've been back and forth. Well, there have been three or four comment periods because these people are trying to do outrageous things, and the Congress and senators are getting wise to it. The burden, as you suggested, isn't really about safety. The burden of trying to do all of this stuff would put, I wouldn't be able to, if I was still selling raw milk, I wouldn't be able to comply with all the things that they want to do, because it's, and the thing is, they don't even know what it would cost. That's the thing that drives people nuts. You know, there were some figures floating around, well, this would cost $80,000 a year for the average small farmer. Well, what does that mean? And how do you come up with that number?
And the other thing about it, Doug, is the way it's set up, FDA doesn't have enough funding. I mean, they say that on their website. They need more funding to carry out the Food Safety Modernization Act. And what happens with these inspections is FDA doesn't make any money on the initial inspection. But if they find something wrong with the facility and have to go back and reinspect, they can charge up to, I think it's $220 an hour.
Yeah.
So they've got this perverse incentive to find something wrong.
And
so it just the whole scheme. And again, if you go after these big firms, they're going to throw lawyers at you, you know, put up a roadblock for you. But if you go after the small farm, that's low-hanging fruit for these inspectors. You know, they get these re-inspection fees. They don't get the resistance because the small farmers can't afford to fight them like the big boys can. And it's all geared up to consolidate interest in the food business even more than it already is at this time.
One of the big controversies over the past few months has been an announcement. I don't know that it was an announcement, but somebody found out that the inspectors that work for the U.S. Department of Agriculture wanted to have machine guns. We all have been talking, mostly since Ferguson, Missouri, about the outrageous things that local police have been given to use, tools that are left over from the Pentagon or the Defense Department budget, and then you come to find out that they have actually, they're buying the stuff new because they have to keep up the spending, and then they give it to the police departments. And included in this are a number of items that we would say were questionable, including submachine guns. So the USDA wanted to get on the act and use sub. What does a USDA inspector who's looking at meat and poultry need with a submachine gun?
Yeah, well, I know. And it gets, I mean, these agencies were originally set up to help farmers, help the
right
people they're supposed to be regulating, and now they're treating them like the enemy. Yeah, they don't need a machine gun. If there's actually a problem, bring the federal marshals in. You don't have to arm the agency.
One wonders what in the world would be the problem be solved by that. All right, we continue in a matter of moments. Pete Kennedy enlightening us from the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund and the Farm to Consumer Foundation. You can go to their website, farmtoconsumer.org. I'm Doug Steffen, continuing in a few moments with this week's American Family Farmer.
Spring flooring season is here at Lumber Liquidators. Get hardwood flooring looks on sale. This week, get 40% off hot gray styles with Delaware Bay Driftwood Laminate. Don't pay $249 at other stores. We've got it for a dollar less. Or get the look of distressed hardwood with Mill River Walnut. It's also 40% off. Plus, deals on 400 styles of hardwood, bamboo, and more from 49 cents. And 18-month special financing. The look and style of hardwood is on sale now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
I'm Mike Huckabee. I was the governor of Arkansas and ran for president in 2008, and I used to be a diabetic. One of the coolest campaigns I ever took on and won was the crusade that reversed my type 2 diabetes naturally. I was able to get off the medications I'd taken, and I lost 110 pounds of fat in the process. If you or someone you care about has type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes, I urge you to pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. The same methods I use to reverse my type 2 diabetes are found today in the Diabetes Solution Kit. It's an all-natural plan that really could work for you in reversing type 2 diabetes and prevent it from coming back, all in as little as 4 weeks, with your doctor's approval. Stop suffering. Here's how to get your hands on the Diabetes Solution Kit today.
Get your Diabetes Solution Kit now at 99bloodsugar.com. Everything you need to reverse your type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes like Governor Huckabee did is at 99bloodsugar.com. Reverse your diabetes today at 99bloodsugar.com. That's 99bloodsugar.com.
Kid, let me paint you a picture. Tuesday night, your cog belt goes bust. Who will help you get what you need fast without the hoops, hurdles, or headaches? Granger, that's who. I love Granger. They got a wide variety of products and solutions. Granger makes it easy to get everything we need and answers for when we're not sure what the answer is. Now, kid, let me paint you another picture. It looks like a mop, a basement bathroom, and you all over it. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When the leading antihistamine and Nasacort go nose-to-nose, Nasacort wins, stopping more of the chemical responses that can cause your nasal allergy symptoms. And when you stop more causes, you get 24-hour relief from sneezing, an itchy runny nose, even congestion. It's prescription-strength medicine available over-the-counter. Nasacort Allergy 24-hour. Stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
You hear that, kid? That's the hum of a well-run facility. You know what I hate hearing? Silence. Silence on a production line means downtime. Downtime means wasted time. Wasted time means wasted money. Silence isn't golden, kid. It's deadly. That's why I love Grainger. With a wide variety of the latest products, Grainger gets us what we need when we need it to help keep this place up and running and humming away. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Continuing on now, this is the weekly American Family Farmer program. We're here to help family farms, hobby farmers, that sort of thing, small ag businesses, solving problems, looking for solutions. Pete Kennedy is an attorney with the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. We are talking about food safety in part. We're talking about sales of products, the locavore movement, and how it fuels the family farmers. People want to come onto the farm. They want to buy the products. They want to see how they're grown. They want to even participate if they can. That's a movement that's keeping a lot of the smaller family farms going. And we have states like Wyoming that are making it easier to distribute a lot of the fresh, raw, local foods. What's going on in Minnesota that is of note? Because I know there are things in various states that you're following. So what's the Minnesota story?
Well, there's a major case there, Doug, which is basically could turn out to be the judicial equivalent of the Wyoming Food Freedom Act. Minnesota is maybe the only state I know that actually protects direct marketing of farm products in their constitution. They just have a provision there that says the farmer can sell and peddle the products of the farm and without any licensing. And that was passed over 100 years ago when this guy delivering produce into the city of Minneapolis, they tried to hold him up with his really high licensing fees, and eventually the people of Minnesota passed this amendment. And again, it's historical context. At the time that was going, that happened, they weren't regulating farms. The licensing was just a revenue raiser. There was no regulation of on-farm sales. So anyway, this guy, this farmer in northern Minnesota, Dave Berglund, sells raw milk, other raw milk products on his farm. And the Minnesota Department of Agriculture wanted to inspect. A couple times he told them no. They came back with an administrative warrant. And this is the first time I've ever seen this happen in our circles. The local sheriff there refused to execute the warrant. So what happened was, these officials didn't inspect. They filed a contempt of court charge against Berglund. There was a hearing on Monday, and the judge who issued the warrant not only found Berglund not guilty of contempt, but he stayed the order granting the warrant. In other words, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture can't use that warrant. Hopefully there'll be another hearing on this case where they can get to the constitutional issue, and that's basically, there are a number of constitutional issues, but one, you know, does this Minnesota constitutional provision keep the government away from a direct farm-to-consumer relationship? Because all this guy does is sell food on the farm, and he sells products like butter and yogurt that are quote-unquote illegal under Minnesota law. So can he sell these products under the Constitution? Can the government stay out? And the attorney for this farmer is also bringing up another really interesting constitutional argument, which is the freedom of association, you know, which has mainly been used in terms of political, you know, strikes or political rallies or something like that. But he believes it should also be extended to just the direct farm-to-consumer relationship, the community that forms. And if the judge finds in the farmer's favor on the constitutional issues, believe me, that word's going to get around nationally on that. People are already looking at that case from around the country right now.
As well they should, because it does open the opportunity for people to do what they... The thing that really is so sick about this is that the average person, once he or she understands what the issues are, always sides with the small family farmer. This is what they want. They want to have food produced. They want to encourage it in local areas because they know that it's the best thing for them. And meanwhile, you get some of the big ag industries who, when these bills come up, for example, California Proposition, I think it was 36 or 38, but it's gone on in a dozen states, if one, where there were either laws that were introduced or there are referendum questions on the ballot, whether or not you want to know what your where it comes from, the food, where is it coming from? Is it locally grown? Is it being imported? What's in it? You know, they spent a lot of money to kill those bills, and in most cases, they've been able to kill them. So,
and the thing is, these food safety people say, if it's these food transactions aren't regulated, children are going to die. It's going to be the jungle all over again. When the truth of the matter is, locally produced, unregulated food has a much better record for track safety than conventionally produced, inspected food. Any question about it.
No, there isn't. I wish I had time because we're out of time, actually. But I wish we had time to delve into. I'll have you come back again at some point to talk about how they keep talking about, for example, with raw milk, how this person died or that person had a problem. It was always with raw milk that wasn't intended to be consumed without being pasteurized anyway. That kind of stuff. Such specious arguments. All right, so this is wild and very informative and good information. Pete Kennedy here. Check out his website, farmtoconsumer.org. I'm Doug Steffen on the weekly American Family Farmer Radio Program.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 square-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
This is the American Family Farmer, continuing with food for thought, if you'll pardon the pun. I'm Doug Steffen here with some comments on things that affect the operation of the family farm, the family farmers, the hobby farmers, the ag businesses. And I'm sort of wondering out loud how you are doing. Remember Ed Koch, when he was mayor of New York, used to say, "How am I doing? How are you doing?" More importantly, there's a survey that has been released that looks back at 2014 with the focus on what size is your farm and how are you doing. There are many people who are growing corn in this survey, people who are raising beef cattle in the survey, people who are doing dairy in the survey. And so I thought that we ought to spend a minute to talk about the managing of this information. I'm just going to give you some of the stats, and you think to yourself, where do I fit in all of this? For example, the question was asked in this survey, how large was your operation? 50% of the respondents said under 500 acres. 22% said between 500 and 1,000 acres. 27% said over 1,000. I would be in the middle there. I'd be in the 22nd percentile because it takes me about 800 acres to run my dairy farm where I am in Massachusetts the way I run it now. Where are you on that scale? Now, thinking about scales for a special moment, if you use 1 to 10, with 1 is very poor, 10 is excellent, how would you rate your overall marketing performance? 1 to 4, 7.5% said they were from 1 to 4. 47% said 5 to 6, and 45% said they were doing excellent, 7 to 10 on their scale. Then the focus turned to the age of the average farmer. So when asked how old you are, 5% said they were under the age of 30. I'm talking about farms all across the country, big and small, doesn't make any difference. 11% were between the ages of 30 and 39. 14% between the ages of 40 and 49, 33% between the ages of 50 and 59, 19% from 60 to 64, 18% older than 65. And that sort of brings me around to something that I read, and you've probably seen it and heard it, especially if you're older anyway, that half of the people in some states in the country, and this survey doesn't quite measure up, it's suggesting 37% are 60 and older. The survey I saw said that the majority of people, like 55%, were over the age of 60. Well, no matter what, it's an important and significant number because it gets people to think about what they're going to do when they get to a point where they don't want to do farming anymore. I'm at that point right now. I don't want to do on the scale of what I've been doing for years. I'm still going to have a farm. I'm still going to raise heifers. I'm still maybe going to have some corn. I'll make my own hay, that sort of thing. But I don't want to keep doing it. And I don't have anybody in my family that wants to keep the farm going. So I'll be selling off the big farm that I have in favor of buying a smaller farm. Where are you in all of that? And how does it affect what you're doing, what your plans are in terms of growing and marketing? Here's a part of this survey. What percentage of your enterprise do you market using the cash method? Do you sell your products for cash? Are you a part of a co-op, and are you selling into that? Are you selling directly or indirectly? I think that's basically the question. A lot of people in the futures market, especially if they're doing corn and beans and that kind of stuff. And I find it interesting to see how much I grew up in an era and in a geographic location where these things were not important because the farms weren't that big, and they still aren't. Many of you who are in the Midwest, especially the mid-south, western part of the country, who are growing big time, whether it be animals or whether it be produce, you are investors in yourself. Yes, you invest in the equipment, you invest in the animals, you invest in land, yep, but are you investing in the futures market? Are you in the hedge market? Are you doing contracts that are helping you or hurting you? I always thought that doing a if you're hedging, sort of betting against yourself, right? If you're going to short in a commodity, it always seemed to me that that was very anti-productive. It seems so negative. But a lot of people do it. A lot of people make a lot of money. Let's see how this year turns out, because price of things not going to be as high this year as they were last year and going down steadily in the last 4 or 5 years. So I just thought you'd find, again, this survey to be of interest, because it does take apart ages and how large the farms are in this market. I'm Doug Steffen on this week's American Family Farmer, with a salute to the family farms and the hobby farms and the ag businesses run by families. This is the American Family Farmer. Family Farmer, continuing with food for thought, if you'll pardon the pun. I'm Doug Steffen here with some comments on things that affect the operation of the family farm, the family farmers, the hobby farmers, the ag businesses. And I'm sort of wondering out loud how you are doing. Remember Ed Koch, when he was mayor of New York, used to say, "How am I doing? How are you doing?" More importantly, there's a survey that has been released that looks back at 2014. With the focus on what size is your farm and how are you doing. There are many people who are growing corn in this survey. People are raising beef.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs, and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health? Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470, or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.